Welcome to the Dwelling Place Church audio podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's message. We pray God speaks to you today through this message and through His Word. For more information about our church, be sure to visit us on the web at dwellingplacemovement.org. Now, it's time to listen to this week's message.
Well, praise the Lord. Good to see each of you here today. Always an honor to gather with so many of you and all of you that are here, and thankful to be a part of a growing church. Amen. And good to hear you seven people today. I want, as we continue this series, Risky Commitments, I want to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, from one of the earliest letters of the Apostle Paul. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. Chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. As you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. You ever wondered how to get a preacher to shut up? There's a little hint for you. Verse 9, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. I want to preach today a message titled, Be Careful. Will you say that with me? Be careful. Let me pray. Father, I thank You that You sent the Son. And You sent the Son because You're on a mission to rescue us, Your creation. To rescue us from our lawlessness, to rescue us from every lawless deed, to rescue us from the lawless one, Lucifer and Satan, who You have disarmed through the blood of Jesus. And You have rendered His kingdom inoperative, inefficient, for those of us who believe today. So I'm asked, Holy Spirit, that You would come with much assurance that Jesus is Lord, that there's no other name and there's no other way to be reconciled to our Creator. I yield to You, Holy Spirit, best I know how. May God, Your light shine in hearts and situations today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I recently read a story of a couple who was attending a motivational event at a large arena. This is one of those success-oriented, driven type events. And during a break between the sessions, they went to the restroom, but so did hundreds, if not thousands, of others. And so the couple, when they arrived at the restrooms, they saw a very long line. And so they decided to walk to another part of the arena in hopes that they would find another bathroom option with less of a line. After a 90-second walk, they sure enough came to more restrooms with no line. After they finished their business and they returned to the area of the arena where that first bathroom line was at, it was still very long. And so they sought to tell all those waiting in line, hey, if you just take a short walk over there, there are bathrooms with zero lines. And as this couple recounted counts the story, they said not one soul moved. Not one person moved and left the long line. And they noted as they told the story that they were at a conference teaching to think outside of the box. They were at a conference of people who has plans to change the world. And yet not one of them moved. They just all did what the person in front of them in the line had chosen to do. Wait. As I listened to that story, I thought, was this risk aversion? Was it to the individuals in the line too risky to try something different from the mass of the people? Was it a herd mentality that people assume that surely if everyone else is waiting in this long line, then there must not be any other options. There must not be any other bathrooms. Or that there's a real good reason that everybody's waiting in a long line. Like, what if I get out of line and I walk around, but I find out there isn't any bathrooms? And you know, as I was thinking through this story and thinking about it out loud, it leads me to ask us today, what was actually more risky? Committing to what choice actually had more risk? Was there actually more risk staying in the long line than there was getting out of line and looking for another bathroom? How do you and I think through life when it comes to risk? How do you and I actually evaluate what is more riskier? To stay the way we are, or to actually get out of line? Maybe getting out of line isn't more riskier. Maybe it's actually better and wiser. Maybe to get out of the box of our thinking is not riskier. Maybe actually continuing to think the way you think is more riskier to your future. This leads me to our main text today in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5. It says, for our gospel, ain't that good news? That the gospel didn't just originate with you or one person, huh? But it originated with our God, and it is a gospel for all of us, to whomsoever will believe today. As you look around this auditorium, this place today, and you see people of different color and different shades of color and different places of, you know, origin of birthplace and different languages of origin, isn't it good to know that it's not just your gospel and a gospel just for your people, but it's our gospel? Come on. That the gospel's big enough for all. He says, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Spirit and in much assurance. I dare someone to say much assurance. Yeah, people, we got some, how do you say it? Some dare angels in the place today. As you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. This is a reference that the Apostle Paul never put. It's a reference to many things, but one thing, he never put a major financial burden on the place he was ministering to. He would raise money and take money from other places and other churches to not burden where he was putting his hand to the plow. He would also labor and take on additional jobs to not burden the existing place that he was ministering to. Verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. Verse 8, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Notice Paul makes a distinction of how they received the word of the Lord and his ministry and his ministry team. He said that they received them in such a way that it wasn't just word only. It wasn't just scripture only. It wasn't just mental knowledge only. He says that the gospel came to them because they opened themselves up in such a way to the ministers of the gospel that the gospel didn't just come in word only, but it came in power and in the Holy Spirit. I love that because that helps you and I be reminded that the power of God is God's power, but it's not synonymous with just the Holy Spirit of God. Because the Holy Spirit of God is not just power, He's the person of God. He has a mind and will. So Paul distinguishes that yes, the gospel came in power, but also it came in the Holy Spirit. And what was the result? Much assurance. Much assurance. The fact that the gospel came to their life, not just in word only, but also in power, and also through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, it led to the believers there in Thessalonica to have much assurance. And guess what much assurance led to? Guess what the fruit of much assurance was in their life? Joy of the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting for us to be mindful that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Much assurance led to them having the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so then you see how they lived and demonstrated the strength of God. That was a result of the joy of the Lord, which was a result of much assurance, of not just knowing the gospel in word only, but knowing the gospel experientially in power. Knowing the gospel experientially, buying in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, so that they became examples to all the churches in two regions of the world that Paul mentions. He says that a result of the much assurance was the word of the Lord sounded forth everywhere from them. That sounds a lot like the vision statement of Dwelling Place, manifesting Christ in many ways to many people. He says that the word of the Lord sounded forth everywhere. Everywhere the believers there in Thessalonica went, the word of the Lord sounded forth. They couldn't keep it silent. They couldn't stay quiet about it. The word of the Lord was bursting forth. And it says that their faith toward God went out. Their faith went out where they lived on purpose. Their faith went out where they lived on purpose for the kingdom of God. They lived intentional for God's purpose for them in Christ Jesus. Their faith toward God went out to the world around them as they lived missionally. They didn't just go through the motions. Their job wasn't just a job. It was a calling to glorify Christ the Son in it. The sphere of where they worked wasn't just a common sphere. It was where the Lord appointed them for faith to go out. And He said that their faith propelled them forward in the things of God and in the purpose and the ways of God. A result of them having much assurance is that they served the living God and they despised their old idols. Oh, what a testimony. To serve God and to live despising the old things that we used to worship, the old hang-ups that we used to find ourselves comfortable in, the old ways of thinking that we used to identify with. They began to despise the old idols that they served, and they served the living God. But I wonder if the inverse happened in that church. The opposite in effect, that's what inverse means. The opposite of what Paul is saying that was happening to the church in Thessalonica. The opposite, the inverse, is ye live with a little assurance that Jesus is Lord. You live just with a little assurance that Scripture and God's promises might be true. You live just with a little assurance that God your Father actually cares, that He's actually with you, that He actually hears your prayers. If the inverse took place, they would be unable to become followers of all the ways of the Lord and His early apostles. Notice how Paul said, you became followers of us and of the Lord. The inverse would be a group of believers living without the joy of the Holy Spirit. The opposite, in effect, of not having much assurance is a people that can't grow when they're afflicted. A people that can't grow when they're being resisted. A people that can't grow when they're in difficult times, in difficult seasons. The inverse, the opposite, in effect, of having much assurance would be a group of people that are not an example of what the faith handed down once and for all looks like. The inverse would be a group of believers where the word of the Lord stays silent in their heart. Where in Thessalonica, the word of the Lord was sounding forth everywhere they went. But the inverse, the opposite in effect of living with much assurance is your faith is private and remains hidden in your own secluded world or bubble we create. The opposite, the inverse of living with much assurance is spiritual leaders are always needing to say something to help you defend your lack of victorious Christian living. Paul said, look, when it comes to you, Thessalonica, I don't have to say anything. Your faith has went out in such a way. Your missional living, your faith says all that needs to be said to all those around you, believers and unbelievers. We don't need to say anything. We don't need to try to help you justify the struggles and justify why you're still looking to your old idols and trying to find comfort in old addictions and trying to stay with the herd mentality of Western, defeated, weak Christianity, watered down with little assurance, trying to, through intellect, justify and get the attentions of people. When much assurance comes, God shakes a nation. When much assurance comes, revival breaks out. Prisons close down because people are convicted and repentant, and God's power is changing them to let go of their idols, to turn and serve a living God. The God who raised His Son above every struggle and every stronghold and everything that's been done to us, could ever be done to us, everything we brought into our life. See, the inverse, the opposite effect of living with much assurance is you keep turning back to idols. You keep turning back and serving and giving more priority and giving more presence and giving more passion and giving more attention, giving more strength and emotions to idols than serving the living God. See, the opposite, in effect, of living with much assurance is you do not live waiting for Jesus, but live wanting to consume more of this world. And when I read through that and I think of the story that I opened with, I think of the question, what is the real risk? What's actually riskier for you and I? What's more risky? You and I opening our life to the gospel in power and in the Holy Spirit, and us committing our Christianity to the anointing of the Christ of Christianity, which was the person of the Holy Spirit. That's why our Christ, our Lord,
He didn't start his ministry. He didn't perform one miracle. He didn't give one clear sermon until what? The Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. Or is it actually riskier, or is the real risk us having started in the Spirit, seeking to finish in our flesh and in our own ability? What's actually riskier, friends? Living with just a little assurance that God is who He said He is, that Jesus actually is Lord over all, that maybe His promises are yes and amen? What's actually riskier, living with a little assurance or living in much assurance? I want to propose to you today that the real risk for you, sir, the real risk for you, man, the real risk for you is staying in a watered-down Christianity that lacks much assurance, that's only word and mental assent. That's the real risk for you. That it seems like it's not a risk because you've tasted it and you've known it and you've seen it and you can find others that do the example. But it's actually less riskier to invite the person in the ministry of the Holy Spirit into your life and say, Lord, I'm open to not just knowing your gospel and your good news in word only, but I'm open to knowing your gospel and good news in power and in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When you think about risky commitments, young people, before you think about the risky commitment of marriage or the risky commitment of a career or person in your established career already, you think about the risky commitment of transferring from your career and going into a new field. When you think about risky commitments, I can't help but first say to us as a congregation, what about the risk of resisting the Helper, the Holy Spirit sent from the Father and Son? What about the risk involved regarding that relationship? Of not depending and being open to the person of the Holy Spirit and seeking in our own humanity and ability to live a supernatural life, which would be impossible. What's the real risk? Committing to the help of the Holy Spirit? Or committing or staying committed to a watered-down version of Christianity? To a form of godliness that denies the power? To the mere talk of Scripture and about God, but not experience the power that He is King and He has a kingdom and He has defeated the enemy and He has defeated the idols of our past and the idols of the first man, Adam's lineage in humanity, that Jesus Christ now invites us to His new family, a family that has access to the divine power of the Holy Spirit, that you and I can experience things in the family of God that our family and our forefathers never experienced before us. That what our parents known and experienced doesn't have to necessarily be what we know and experience. That now you and I have God as our Father. We have Jesus as Lord and our big brother, and we have access to the ministry and the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And so I just want to tell some people today, be careful. Be careful. Because if you're open to the gospel coming to you also in power and the Holy Spirit, you just might live with much assurance. Oh, be careful, friend. If you actually get open to the gospel coming to you in power and in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you might just experience that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You might just experience that when you do dishes and do the laundry and do the taxes, that His presence can be right there with you. Oh, be careful. You might just find some joy unspeakable and full of glory. Be careful. You might just get out of your rut and you might find the presence of God more exciting than some video games and some Netflix, movies. You might just find the goodness of God right now in the life you're living. Oh, but be careful. We live in a culture so often now we're in prosperity. We as parents say, be careful. Be careful. And in the West, it's seeped into the church. And we think, I got to be careful, but we're being careful in the wrong ways. That where we think we're being careful is a good thing, it's actually more riskier to our spiritual health. It's actually riskier to the weight of us impacting eternity and being a blessing to others. Oh, be careful if you're open to the gospel coming into your life more than word only, but in power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You might just experience that Jesus is Lord and every demon must bow their knee to the name that's above every name. Oh, be careful if you're open to the gospel coming to you, not just in word only, but in power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You might just find out that greater is the God in you than the little God that's in this world, the devil. Oh, but be careful if you're open to the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You might just experience that the anointing of the Holy Spirit breaks every yoke. There wasn't one yoke that Jesus couldn't break by the anointing. And there's not one yoke, one bondage, one addiction that the Holy Spirit can't break in our lives today. Break in our community, in our church today. Oh, you be careful though if you're open to the precious Holy Spirit in the power of God. You might just find out that nothing's impossible for our God to the one who believes. You say, well, be careful. Be careful opening your mouth and declaring Christ crucified to a friend, to a college student. Opening your mouth and declaring Christ crucified to a co-worker. Be careful, because they might just repent and come to placing faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and leader of their life. Oh, but be careful. If you're out at the grocery store or at the bank, at the mall, at a store, and you feel prompted and asked to pray for a person, oh, be careful, because they might just encounter the power of Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit and get set free from the enemy's grip on their life. Be careful if you're going to give sacrificially to the poor and to the needy and to a kingdom initiative and a large project of God's people. Be careful, because you might just find out that God's faithful to His Word and He returns all that we give to the poor. You might just find that God's faithful, that He'll multiply the seed that you've sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Oh, be careful if you fast and have an empty stomach for days, because you might just get filled with a hunger and a passion for the things of God for your entire life. Oh, be careful if you join a connect group here at Dwelling Place, because you just might actually feel an experience that you're not alone and you're accepted in the beloved, the family of God. Be careful. Be careful if you choose to trust God that Jesus still baptizes with the Holy Spirit today. Because you might just receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and be a supernatural witness and begin to experience prophecies, divine dreams and visions and the gifts of the Holy Spirit that bless other people's lives. Be careful. Be careful if you seek first the kingdom of God like Jesus tells us to do. Because you just might get free from living as if you had to build your own kingdom in your own ability. I think about not just us individually, of what's more riskier. Having begun in the Spirit, shall we now be made complete and mature depending on our own human ability and not embracing
the power of the gospel and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but I also think as us as a community, dwelling place, as a church community, can I tell you today? Be careful if you're open to living with much assurance beyond just logic and mental assent of scriptures and knowing what they say, but experiencing the power of what they say and in the ministry. Be careful, church community. Be careful if we gather purposefully in the name of Jesus, because we might just each Sunday experience the seven redemptive blessings for us that the Father has secured for us in the name of Jesus. Be careful, dwelling place, because when we gather in that name for the glory and the purpose of that name, we're not coming for our own name and necessarily as a priority our own needs, but we're coming for our Father. We're coming for our Lord. Be careful, because when you gather in the name, He might just allow you to experience the blessedness that He is your righteousness. You might just experience the blessedness again in the moment as we gather of what it is to know the joy that our past sins have been forgiven and God holds us no longer, you know, responsible, but that we are free. Be careful, dwelling place, if we gather in that name, we might just experience the redemptive blessing that He's our sanctifier. You might just experience the fire and the water of the Holy Spirit, the fire to burn out everything that the world's put in you, the fire to burn out every thought the devil put in your own, in your mind that you thought was your thought, the fire to burn out everything that was done to us. But be careful. Be careful, dwelling place, when we gather in the name of Jesus, we might just experience the river and the water and the move of God that washes away all the crooked and rough places of our character. Oh, but be careful. Be careful, dwelling place, that when we gather in the name of Jesus, we might just experience Jehovah Shalom, a peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace that tells us it's going to be okay. I don't know how He's going to do it. I don't know when He's going to do it. I don't know when this valley is going to, I'm going to come up out of it, or the thing standing in my way is going to be made low, but I got a peace now that surpasses my understanding of it. A peace. Be careful, dwelling place, when we gather the name of Jesus, we might just experience that He's Jehovah Shema, that His holy, powerful, protecting presence is always with us. We might just get so happy in His presence that we have to say, we're not drunk as you suppose, but we're drunk on the fact that His presence is always with me. And I'm experiencing and drinking of His presence now. Be careful, dwelling place, that when we gather in the name of Jesus, you might just experience the redemptive blessing that the Father purchased for us through the blood and body of Jesus, that supernatural provisions and financial miracles are available for God's people. But be careful. God might just give you a raise that you never could have even thought of, because He's got to get it to His people, to get it through His people, to build a dwelling place for Him to reach more people. But be careful. Be careful. You might just see the provision of God, and like the lady who lost one of her silver coins, had to get on the phone and tell her neighbors, "You'll never believe it. I've been looking so long, but now God has revealed where it was the whole time." Could you imagine if Peter had to go on his own ability and look to find the temple tax? Oh boy. I tell you what would happen, because we got Old Testament examples. Just like when people's donkeys went astray and they sent a servant to try to go find the donkey. The servant looking for the lost donkey became just as lost as the donkey. And that's you and I in our own ability. But Jesus said, "Hey, go and throw in the hook, and the first fish that comes up, there's going to be a financial miracle, and it's going to pay the temple tax." But be careful, Peter. Be careful throwing in that hook. Be careful, because you might just experience a miracle. But be careful. Oh, if we gather in that name, the name of Jesus, be careful, because you might just experience He's Jehovah Rapha, that it's health and healing for His children. It's His grace and wisdom that we can live healthy. But then in the fallen world, when stuff happens and we experience sickness, we still have Jehovah Rapha, a doctor that can do what an earthly doctor can't do. But be careful. Be careful gathering in His name, dwelling place, the name of Jesus, because you might just find out He's still Jehovah Nissi and He delivers His people from every enemy. There wasn't one soldier, there wasn't one chariot still alive and not buried in the waters of the Red Sea. Not one. But be careful. Dwelling place, be careful if we grow in the pattern of sound teaching as we grow together. Be careful because the Holy Spirit might just work in us and through us to live and model a pattern of good works to the lost around us. But be careful. Dwelling place, be careful as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, because we might just experience a love for the truth and believe the truth so that we're protected from the delusion coming on the world in the last days. But be careful. Be careful, dwelling place, if we give ourselves in service and sacrificially giving, because we might just see God give the increase and His power accomplish what in our weaknesses we never could. But be careful. What's the real risk, friends? Trying to live what we're called to live, a supernatural life in our natural ability? Or realize that our God's provided a gospel where we can have much assurance, not just in word, but in power and by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. What's riskier? Letting God do what He's designed to do for you and I, His people? Are you and I staying in the ruts of religion? Staying in a weak, impotent, and powerless church? Staying in the thinking that wearing Super Bowl jerseys are going to transform more lives than the power of God? I'm not against that. We might do it one Sunday in the future. What I'm against is it not being clear to every heart and every head and every body in a seat of a church that comes in. That much assurance don't come from things tied to the world. Much assurance comes by the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Spirit speaking to spirit. Not just mind speaking to mind. Not just like speaking to like. I know they're out there, I'm sure, because God does what God does regardless of we as man does. But I don't know one person in this church that the main hook that brought them to the feet of a beautiful, loving, victorious Savior, Jesus, being something that was like similar to the world that attracted them to Jesus and are living a spirit-filled, empowered, victorious life. I don't know one. But what I do know is I know you who are living victorious in an area, it's because you came straight to the feet of Jesus with the Holy Spirit convicting you of where else can I go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And you were raised over all things, including my past. And you hearing the gospel, not just in word, but in power and by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you've experienced freedom today. I know that. What I'm trying to tell you is I've seen, and this is what Paul is highlighting in the church in Thessalonica, that it's a lot easier to get people to live what Jesus has made available to live when you just tell it clear the first time. When you don't try to bring them in just through worldly means and then slowly transition them, oh, but by the way, there's more than Jesus. He poured out the Holy Spirit, the Helper, who will comfort you, who will be ever present with you, who will guide you and lead you. See, be careful, dwelling place. Because if we get out of the limiting box of this building and head into the unknown, the wilderness, even before the new building is completed, be careful, because we might just see missional living stirred again in the people of God, and the Lord add to the church daily those that are being saved. What I'm trying to get us to ask ourselves today is, what is truly more risky? How do you and I actually evaluate risk? I don't know all of those scores and scores standing in the one long line. I don't know in that moment what was going on in their heart and mind, where they're evaluating the risk to listen to someone that had just tasted and seen, probably not the best way, experienced and got relieved that there was another bathroom down the arena. I don't know what was going on. Said, it's too risky to believe their word. Though they're no longer shaking their leg and, you know, playing with their fingers. I mean, they're smiling and happy. They're ready for the next session. They're ready to conquer the world. And the whole line's just tense. Like, is there going to be enough time? Oh, am I going to make it? I don't know what was going on. But what I do know, listen, is sometimes the filters that we use to measure risk are wrong in and of themselves completely. And so for me, I think what Paul is highlighting and praising of the Thessalonians is he's saying, you became followers of us and the Lord. Paul and his team weren't living in a little bubble they created. They weren't living in ruts. They're out there living missional, seeing that though they're being resisted and persecution, he said, the Lord stood with me even when no one else stood with me. He's seeing the power of our King. Let me tell you how it works. It works that on my recent trip to Ireland, I individually, one-on-one or one to a small group of people, had doors open and shared the gospel. In 4 days, more than 2 years being here. Why is that? It's because when we get out of our routine, and we find ourselves already in another place, and the measurements of risk are already gone because you're already there. You're outside the box. You're outside the norm. You're outside the rut. Then you can be open that our King and our Lord is more than just talk in words. But He has power. He has power to open hearts. He has powers to open doors to share the gospel. And the ministry and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is for us to be a witness supernaturally that Jesus is Lord. Despite what it looks like in the madness of the world, He's still seated in victory and in rest. So what's more risky? Living and accepted a watered-down Western version of Christianity? Or is it actually more riskier allowing or not allowing the power of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life? What's more risky, living safe or the word of the Lord sounding forth through our lives? According to Paul, what he highlights and prays, it's less risky to your spiritual health, to your physical health, to your emotional health, to your future. It's less risky actually living on fire for God and on mission for God. It's actually more risky to never even be willing to hear His word where He says, step out of the boat and come to me. Come to me. I'm in a context that you've never been in, so you can't feel comfortable. I'm in a place that you've never walked in, but come to me. I want to show you who I am. I am your Lord and King. Is anything too hard for our God? Jesus, still the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Be careful. You might just open your mouth and hear some dead bones and dead people and depressed people. Their bones start rattling with hope again. Be careful if you open up your life to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You might just see that the breath of God starts breathing encouragement into the people around you. And people who thought that it was too late for them or they failed too much might just start rattling again with hope. Might just start rattling again with praise. Might just start rattling the pages of Scripture again. Oh, but be careful. I saw this video. I sent it to Pastor Craig, maybe even yesterday. You never know on Instagram anymore if it's, you know, produced in a set somewhere or if it's actually happening. But nevertheless, I liked it. And this girl was over up against these flowers. And she was sniffing. Just enjoying the fragrance of the Lord through those flowers He created. And she took a big sniff and a bee flew in her nostril. So the next clip is she's at the doctor and then she's back home and her nose, I mean, looked like she stepped into the UFC octagon as a girl for the first time against the girl champion. And her nose was like three times spread wide. Whole side of her face of that nostril was ballooned and red. Listen. But that's how we've allowed the enemy to use culture and then try to seep in the church when it comes to living missionally, coming to run after God. We say, but be careful. Be careful. Don't smell the roses because an actual bee might fly up your nostril. So be careful. But bless God, friend. What's riskier? Never smelling the aroma and the beauty of a flower God created for you to smell or to be so scared of an actual bee flying up your nose? Are we going to miss out? I think about his parents. We take them to the park. Well, what do we take them to the park for if they can't climb the climbing wall? And all the obstacle courses there at the park. We say, be careful. Well, bless God, why didn't you take them and leave them in the house? You let them out into God's beautiful nature. We say, be careful. You might fall over the monkey bars and break your arm. Yeah, but it might just grow back twice as strong, friend. You might just find a redeemer that even when you and I miss it, stepping out, that when you and I miss it and taking risks for the glory of God, that God's still bigger than our failures. That He still can redeem what's been broken. That He's not calling you and I to be Him. He's calling you and I to trust that He's got a gospel that's better than just mental assent. And trying to convince the world, deceived by the enemy just through logic alone. But we have word and power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Come on, Caleb, let's see if we can ever flow together. We got to learn. We got a long, Lord willing, we got many days ahead together. We got to learn to flow. Help him, Jesus, by getting him helped by the Holy Spirit. Listen, I want to tell you, friends, listen. Average is riskier than being red hot for the Lord. Average is riskier than being red hot for the Lord. On a scale of risk, a true scale, measurement of God's standard, average would be lukewarm. And Jesus takes no delight in it.
See, when people get cold, you at least have a conviction. My wife had a strong conviction last night. I don't remember where we were at what point, but I know at some point she looked at me and said, I'm tired of being cold. Ready for the summer. See, people that are cold and are hurting, at least they got conviction. And someone that's still at least alive on the inside, even if they're hating God, resisting God, like a Saul who thought he was pleasing God, God can still touch a person with conviction. And of course, the conviction of being on fire for the Lord. He says, what you purpose in your heart to trust Him, He'll make you stand in. He's able to make us stand in convictions that come out of fire for God, hunger for God. Listen, don't come out of legalism. If I do things that you don't do, it don't come out of legalism. If I don't watch movies that you don't watch, or drink drinks that you don't drink, or whatever, create whatever it is. I don't do that out of legalism if I don't do it. I do it out of a conviction. And God gives me a grace for my conviction. He makes us stand. My point is whether we're cold, God still finds a heart that's experiencing conviction and He can work. Or if we're hot and we have conviction, God can make us stand by His grace in the conviction. But average is a person that's just surrendered, being awake to conviction. They're just in a rut. They're just standing in a line for the bathroom, thinking, I got to stand in a line to the bathroom. I want to tell you, if you're a follower of Jesus, as a follower of Jesus Christ, there's actually less risk in committing to the person and work of the Holy Spirit than not doing so. There was more risk in the mainline denominational church that preached the word every week. But where's the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Where's the power of God? There was more risk me growing up in that than now me being open to what can God do through the Holy Spirit? What can He do in a room where people start to place faith and trust Him? What where we think is impossible becomes possible with the help of the Holy Spirit. When you think about the words, yeah, right here, be careful. Do you really want to live, think about it in this way, do you really want to live filled with care? Do you really want to be filled with care, cares of this world? Cares of what other people, the wrong kind of people, think about you. Cares constantly of how you're going to make it. Cares of how you're going to accomplish it. Being filled, caring about how you and your own strength's going to continue. I don't want to be that kind of careful. But wonder if the invitation to all of us today, friends, is to be filled with care. What's the difference, Pastor Chad? To be filled with the care of the Holy Spirit, the Helper, who the Father and the Son has sent. That you and I would be in the midst of valleys, in the midst of affliction, just like the Thessalonians. In the midst of heartbreak, in the midst of wars, in the midst of rumor of wars, in the midst of strife and fighting, sometimes in our own families. But we're still filled with the Holy Spirit's care. We're filled with the Holy Spirit's care to empower us, to give us grace for the moment, to give us grace for the day. That we're filled with the care of the Holy Spirit to lead us, to order our steps, to close doors that need to be closed, to open the right doors that need to be opened. That you and I have an invitation today to a gospel not of word only,
but in power and in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that we can live with much assurance of being filled with the care of the Holy Spirit, that He will teach you. He will teach us. He won't deceive us. He will fill us. The care of His presence. I can't think about risky commitments and not think about the true risk of trying to do relationships, of trying to make major decisions in life. I can't even measure and think through all that without bringing in, what about our relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit of God? The Jews of Jesus' day say, we have God as Father, and yet they miss the Son. And in the last days, there's so many, it says, I have the Father and I have the Son, but they miss the person of the Holy Spirit. What's riskier? With every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here today, you say, Pastor Chad, I don't understand it all. And yet I've heard today I don't need to understand it all. But what I'm hearing that Paul said to a group of believers who were open, that the Word can come to my life, not just with mental assent, not just with logic, but the gospel can come with power and in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that I can have much assurance. In every moment, I can have assurance that Jesus is Lord, that He's greater. Much assurance in the power of His resurrection. I can have much assurance through the presence of the Holy Spirit, through a peace that surpasses all understanding. And I just want to ask the Holy Spirit to help me be like those group of believers. That I would be open to not just living a life of a little assurance, but I would be open to living a life of much assurance in the Word of God, in the promises of God, in the plan of God, in the goodness of God for me. And in doing that, I understand I have to be open to this relationship with the person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. If you would like more information about our church, be sure to visit us on the web at dwellingplacemovement.org.